Hallelujah. Father, here we are, and we belong to you, Father. Your precious Son, Jesus, came for us, and we belong to you, Father. Take what we are, take what we have. We offer it to you, Jesus. We offer you our lives. And we ask that you, Father, will delight in your children tonight. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will come and change our lives. Come reveal through the Spirit of wisdom and revelation what Jesus wants us to understand tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 15, Jesus is giving that wonderful discourse about him being the vine and we are the branches. And in verse 5, he says, he who abides or goes on or remains in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. And there isn't anything less than nothing. And there's this wonderful truth that he's saying, that just as a vine which has branches, the moment the branch is broken off, the branch begins the process of withering and dying. And he says, in the same way, when you are in me and you remain in me, my life, this life of my spirit, flows up and into you. And naturally, you will begin to produce not only internal fruit, but the external fruit of the kingdom that will come out of your life. And the thing to always remember is, because we're not the source of the spiritual life, we can't generate it. It's impossible for us to generate spirituality. Nor can we receive anything from God unless we abide in Christ, unless we remain in Christ. And then the life of the Spirit begins to flow out of us with increasing measure. And so the Lord is showing us that when we were first saved, we discovered this amazing relationship with the Father. And I don't know what it was like for you, but I couldn't believe that God could love me so much. I couldn't believe that I could be loved like that. I never understood love like that before. And I couldn't believe that God would permanently and continuously want to be revealing himself to me and continuously wanting to show me how much he loved me. And for me, the greatest awe, I used to spend hours just sitting on outside with my back against a tree and just say, God, I can't believe it, that I found you and that you love me and that we have this relationship, and you didn't reject me, despite the fact that I rejected myself. You haven't rejected me. We all probably would be able to identify with that, and we all loved his presence, and we loved the sense of the freshness of that flush of first love when we discovered the love of the Savior, and we lived in this two-way communication with him. And it was absolutely glorious. And the Lord spoke to me so much. He used to teach me. I used to sit there literally and ask him question after question, and he'd answer my questions one after the other. And I'd say, but your word says this, what did you mean? And he would answer the question. And I thought that, you know, not audibly, but in my heart I just heard the answer. And I thought, this is extraordinary that the God of all the universe not only took notice of me, but he's answering my questions. He wants to communicate with me. God is looking for this relationship with me. Is absolutely amazing. And it was just the most special 2 years of my life. And then I went to Bible school. And then I began to discover all kinds of other things. I found out about needing to read the Bible in 1 year, which meant you had to get through a certain number of chapters every day. It didn't mean you remembered too much about it, but you just read it because you had to finish it in a year. And then I heard about praying through the night. And I heard about people doing back-to-back 40-day fasts. And I thought, wow, this is what the super spits do. I gotta do this stuff. I gotta really go for it because this is the stuff that God really wants. God really wants the achieving man. God wants the man who's doing the stuff and showing God how much he cares and showing God how much he's prepared to go through all this. I read about George Whitefield, who used to lie prostrate before the Lord for days on end and then go and preach and thousands would get saved. And I thought, God, I'm going to lie prostrate before you for hours. And I remember every Saturday morning I used to go sit under my tree on the lawn and talk to God. Now suddenly I decided I won't go talk to God. I'll fast. I won't eat. And I'll stay in my room. I won't even drink any water. I'll just wake up and get into the Word, and I'll pray, and I'll really please God that way. It was the driest, most miserable day of my life. God was a million miles away as far as I was concerned, and I just never encountered His presence. And I couldn't understand it. I thought, I'm doing so much extra for you. I thought you'd give me extra, you know, and I really expected this incredible outpouring. Now, I'm not saying that any of these things are not good. It's really good to read the Word. It's study it. And I study it all the time. It's really good to pray, and I love to pray. But I was coming at it from the wrong place altogether, and this was my problem. You know, we so equate what God, we think God is looking for with probably what our earthly fathers look for. And they look for our being good guys and good girls and doing all the things that are right and making him proud of us. And so I wanted to make my father proud of me. I wanted him to be proud of me. And I quickly forgot that for a couple of years, he just loved being with me and he just loved me spending time with him. And he just loved this ongoing relationship. Let's go back and look at the beginning. Let's go and look at what happened. The Bible tells us that in the very beginning, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit lived in completeness in themselves. They didn't need anything. They didn't lack anything. The Father's heart burnt with the most fiery love for Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and their hearts burnt with love for Him. The Godhead was completely sufficient in itself. And then together one day they all said, let's make man in our image. Let's make man to join this circle of burning hearts. Let's create them like ourselves so they can enter into this place of love and relationship. And so they made man and woman for the purpose of joining them in this privileged position. But man chose to exercise the freedom of choice which God had created them with. And that freedom of choice was to deny God and deny His goodness and believe a liar. And so became enslaved to Him. And that privileged position of being in the circle of burning hearts was lost. And suddenly, man was on his own, without God, in darkness and in despair. And we lived without that relationship. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, remember that at the time you were separate from Christ. He's talking to Gentiles. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners in the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ, Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. You see, because up till then, God only had a covenant with the Jewish people, and the Gentiles were outside of that. But Jesus came to abolish the division between the two and make us all the people of God, the people who could live back in that privileged position. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace on the earth. So he came to create once again the invitation to the circle of burning hearts and say, you can come in here. You can be part of this. This is my plan and my purpose for you, that you will live in this place. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near, Jews and Gentiles. For through him we were both now have access to the Father by that one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, what I call the fellowship of the hill, the circle of burning hearts. This heart that burns with love, that is consumed with love, that is motivated and moved by love. Jesus said to us, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. John says, God is love. So what is Jesus? He is love. Jesus demonstrates the heart of the Father to us. And then he set us in this place where we would live once for all in his presence. I had to go a long circle, and I've told you the story before about getting totally burnt out because I tried so hard to do what I thought God wanted me to do. But eventually what happened is I discovered Jesus, and I discovered the uncomplicated relationship he wanted with me. It wasn't a relationship which was to be complicated with all kinds of behavior and all kinds of performance. It was a relationship. He was no longer going to be the one who would disapprove of me and reject me if he felt I was not doing what he wanted me to be. Instead, he would love me and he would treat me as a son and he would make me one who had a place in the Father's household. And it's the most incredible place to come to, that revelation. I've never known such relief in my entire life. And this journey back to that privileged position was delightful, to say the least, because I discovered once again this Lord who I met in the beginning, who used to share with me his heart and welcome me into his presence and answer the questions of my heart. Suddenly it started up again. But do you know something crazy? Do you know that I have a default, and my default is law? And I default back into legalism without even trying. If anybody kind of looks a little too free, I tend to default into law and say, I just don't want to get them out of perspective here because it could cause trouble. And it's tragic because what you end up doing is living in this restricted life. And then again, I've got to come back and say, hang on, it's about a relationship. It's not about performance. It's not about how you behave. It's how you relate to the Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, this is so beautiful. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. It's a bit like when I asked Dot to marry me, and I put a ring on her finger, an engagement ring, a diamond, and I, this is a guarantee that you're going to get all of me. Just a few months from now, you get all of me and I get all of you. There was the guarantee, that ring was important to me because I was saying to her, this is the deposit, the best is still coming, that's me. In the same way, in the same way, the word says, Paul says that God puts his Spirit in us. And that is our guarantee of the best that's still to come. He says, you can have this, so you will know that everything I've promised you is going to be yours as well. Hallelujah. And he sets his seal of ownership on you. He says, you belong to me, Graham. You don't belong to the world. You don't belong to anybody else. You belong to me. Dr. Wes reminds me that she first belongs to the Lord, then she belongs to me. Now, as those who carry the seal of ownership, you and I live in the circle of the burning hearts. The hearts that burn with love for the Father and experience the Father's heart burning with love for you. Everything must flow from that place. Nothing must flow from the place of performance. You might remember a week before last I said, if something's wrong, if the fruit's wrong, fix the root, don't fix the fruit. And the problem is, we usually go to the fruit because the fruit's the most evident thing that's wrong. But if we get the root right, if we're rooted and established in love, then everything works. If we're rooted and established in law, we spend our life trying to please God, trying to follow formulas and trying to say, this is how it's got to be for God to be pleased with what I'm doing. You know, I've come to understand through a massively long journey that praying is just a process of abiding in God. You know, there was a time when I would turn up for my prayer time and I'd say, okay, you know, I've got an hour to pray, so I'll mention everything I've got to mention, and then I'll look and I said, 2 minutes are gone. I've got another 58 minutes to cover. What am I going to do here in 58 minutes? What more am I going to talk about? And it really is that way. You know, when you set this thing up as a sort of legalistic exchange, and I had to learn this process of sometimes just sitting in the Lord's presence, sometimes saying absolutely nothing, except, I'm so glad I'm here with you. What do you want to say to me today? And then I'll wait until he says something, until he tells me. Did you notice what Mikey did tonight? I loved it. And the third song, he just waited for God to speak to him. And you know, it's not slick, but we don't want to be slick. It's not like performance, we don't want to perform. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we can't say we want to be led by your Holy Spirit and then, hang on, as well, I know what to do now, I'll take charge of this. And I respect that, I really do. I mean, it wouldn't work in some churches because, you know, you've got to be seen to be really on the ball. But last Friday, we had just had a night of prayer here, and it was absolutely wonderful. And that was just a night of abiding in the presence of God. And it was fantastic. It was brilliant. It worked far better than I thought it would. I had no idea it was going to work so well. And for some of us, it was a new thing to spend a whole meeting just praying and worshiping. And these guys did so well, the musicians, all of them. They just were able to kind of echo what we were praying and echo the scripture. And it was a brilliant night just of seeing the fullness of God, and we were abiding. Now, when it came to Saturday, I was kind of glowing with what had happened on Friday night. It was this glow just goes on in your life. It doesn't stop. And you see, this is the process of abiding, produces this glow and this ongoing relationship. I didn't want to sin because, not because I steeled myself to not sin. I didn't want to sin because I didn't want to spoil the glow. I didn't want to speak unkindly to Dot or get with irritation because I didn't want to spoil the glow. The glow is too beautiful. The glow is too wonderful. So I will honor Dot because it's part of the glow. It comes out of the glow. It comes out of my relationship. And when I went to spend time with the Lord on the weekend, it was just out of this place of abiding. More prayer just begins to flow, and it's not even what's the time and how long is this going on. It's just this place of wanting to release more and more because that's what He wants to do with us. So many of us are empty and bear so little fruit, either internally or externally. For so many of us, prayer has just become the most boring thing imaginable. Because prayer still remains in the place of achievement and achieving results. And only if you can, you know, say it where you felt there was sufficient faith in it, or everybody else said amen, it wasn't really a worthwhile prayer. But you know, God hears everything. And so just praying out of the sense relationship, he begins to take you on a journey of prayer. But you know something, guys? He doesn't even really want you to pray. He wants you to have a relationship with him. And prayer must come out of the relationship. And out of that flow of two-way communication, you will begin to use the word. And there's a whole other subject, which we'll get into some other time. Perhaps you've felt the need to do what you think would please him. Perhaps you felt, hang on, I need to kind of get into what God wants. I need to figure out what will make him happy. You know, if I really pray something in the right way, or if I pray something that's close to his heart, or if I pray only scripture, then maybe that's what will please God. Perhaps you're frustrated because you haven't seen any answers to prayer for so long. And so you've just decided it's really not worth it. And lovingly, our Father says, when you approach me, not for what you can get from me, but because you want a relationship with me, then we can talk about all those other things that you need to see happening in your life. The trouble is, whichever way it is, it's no fruit. When last did we see the fruit of the Spirit really moving in our own hearts? When last did we see the fruit of the Spirit moving around us? When last did we share the gospel with somebody in the way where they came under conviction of their need for salvation? Or was it our good presentation that brought them to the place where they said in the end, okay, I give up, I'll take Jesus? I don't know, and I don't know what all of you do all the time. Jesus said something really interesting in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus came to stop you and me from having to keep performing to please God. He came so that you and I could live in the goodness of what he had achieved, not in the goodness of what we thought we needed to achieve. To enter into this rest, you've got to acknowledge Christ's completed work on the cross. We have got to acknowledge that there's nothing more left to do. There's nothing I can add to what he did. I cannot make him happier. I can't make his crucifixion any more successful. It was perfect. He has perfectly, once and for all, paid the price for you and I. I no longer need to strive with my effort. I now live in all that he has given me. I have to embrace the truth that Jesus gave his life so that we could be justified by his precious blood and nothing else. My effort will never justify me. Even if you were to read the Bible through every month, even if you were to fast back-to-back 40-day fasts, even if you were to attend every jolly church meeting you could find in London, and there are plenty, it will not get you into the place of abiding. It all has to start from abiding. It has to start from the place of living in him. The key to all this is simply one thing: humility. I can do nothing on my own. On my own, I'm going to blow it. In fact, I was blowing it so conclusively that I needed him desperately to save me. You know, seriously, there is nothing you can do to improve on what Jesus has already done. And that's a massive relief because, oh my word, for a man who spent a long time trying to justify myself and trying to convince God that I was okay, you got to believe me, it's been a tough journey. But in the end, I've got to come to the point of saying it is only the blood of Jesus that gets me here. This morning, Dot said to me, what time do you get up? And I told her, it was quite early. And she said, oh, you're good, eh? And I said, no, I'm not good because of getting up early. I'm good because of the blood of Jesus. I can never be good by what I did. Even though I've got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, it doesn't make me gooder. I'm only good because of the blood of Jesus. You see, our minds are so geared towards performance and to what we think we got to do to keep everybody, including God, happy, and the leadership, and everybody around us, and our families, and keep them all feeling we're ticking all the boxes. We're performing, and everybody's so impressed with what you're doing. Except you're miserable on the inside because you know, in the end, it adds up to nothing. The more we spend in His presence, the more we will realize that He is in control of absolutely everything. There is nothing you and I can add or can bring or can do which will make one tiny iota of difference to what He has already achieved. But isn't it remarkable that He wants to partner with you? He wants to share this journey with you. He wants you and I to be in the circle of burning hearts with Him. He wants us to experience His presence, to experience a relationship with Him. He wants you to. And that's why He paid that price for you and I. That's how much He wants you there. His Son's life was what He paid to get you and I into the circle. It is the most incredible, incredible promise. And you and I can do nothing except stand and say, God, I'm amazed. I'm utterly amazed. Everything starts from this one point. Everything has to begin with this relationship. We're going to spend time in the new year really drawing close to God. Jesus said in Revelations chapter 2 to the church at Ephesus, you've lost your first love. And we need to receive first love restored in us again. We need to see that love for God once again beating in our hearts. Once again, the most important reason why we're in this, it's because of love. His love for us and our love for Him. And I'll tell you more about that when we next meet. But it's going to be absolutely brilliant. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. It's going to be better than you think it's going to be. It's going to be a glorious time of coming into a place of relationship with the Father. Knowing the presence of the Holy Spirit. Your engagement ring. And knowing the beautiful, beautiful love of Jesus Christ. And that's what January will be about discovering that. And we will start here on the 2nd of January when we will do that. But just until then, it'll be a month of learning to abide, of just once again going back to basics, of going back to this is why I joined this thing. This is why I'm here. I want to be part of this Jesus. And I don't want to ever lose this position again. I want to stay in the place of first love with you. Father, thank you so much. Father, thank you that you wanted so much to have a relationship with the people you'd created to be in your circle of love, that you sent your Son to bring us to you. Father, here we are. We've messed up. We've got it wrong. We think we got it right sometimes. But Lord, more than anything else, we want to stand in that place again. My prayer for this church, Father, is that this church were a place where people truly understand what it means to be loved by the Father, what it means to love the Father with all their hearts, mind, soul, and strength. And to love one another and the people who are lost like they love themselves. Father, only you can do that in us. And we ask you to take us on a journey in this new year as it unfolds. And we ask you to break open the way for us, Father. And we ask you to take the feebleness of our hearts and the feebleness of our attempts and multiply them by the power of your Holy Spirit. And make us those who will begin to make a difference. And make us those who will begin to understand what it means to be a son of the living God. Father, we want to stop disqualifying ourselves because you don't disqualify us. Father, we want to stop trying to please you by our performance and our effort. Father, that's a travesty. It's almost a denial of the blood of Jesus Christ that we think we can add to it by our performance. And Father, the cry of my heart is you will find for yourself in this place relationships, friendships between the people and yourself. Father, the cry of my heart is that we will go on a journey of rediscovery of the first love with which we started out. Father, that we will discover the whole reason we met you in the first place. Father, I ask you to do that in us. I ask you to release us into the fullness of your plan, your purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're going to share this meal. And this is simply the most beautiful gift from Jesus to his body. And it's simply a simple meal of grape juice and bread. And it's our opportunity to remember that God loves you so much that he sacrificed his son's life because he wanted a relationship with you. He wanted you in his family. You don't have to perform to share this meal. You just have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ has died and he has risen. And he is coming again for his bride. You want a relationship with your people. People who will obey you because they love you. People who will love you so much that obeying you will never be an issue, Jesus. It'll just be whatever you want that I want to do. Whatever you say, I want to do it, Jesus. When you say jump, I want to jump. But above all else, I want to experience the end of laboring, the end of being heavy burdened. And this meal is about that. It's about you carrying the burden so that we don't have to. And your blood that was shed for us, Jesus, was simply you establishing through the most precious blood that would ever be shed on this earth. Possible covenant between man and God. Your blood washed away our sin, broke the power of every curse, destroyed everything that separated us from you. And now we are one, Father. We are in your family. So guys, I want to welcome you to the table of the Lord. I want to welcome you. I want to ask you to come and eat with gratitude in your heart. I want you to come and feast. And I want you to drink. And I want you to experience the revelation of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. I want you to ask the Father tonight that he will take you where you are and draw you to the center of his heart. To teach you what it is to have first love for the Father again.